Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I have a friend that she swears that she's more productive when she is hungover. So if she knows that she has a really long, gnarly day at work the next day, she'll purposely drink a lot the night before so that she can get her done.
Which makes no sense.
Craziest form of self-sabotage I've ever heard. She must thrive on anxiety, right?
Like, I don't know. She does not. She seems chill. I don't know. She like works at Microsoft, and it's like a real normal 9-to-5er kind of situation.
I can imagine working at like a boring place like Microsoft. You kind of have to like find ways to get your day going, you know, like, I'm really hungover today.
You're like, I've just become a pure statist working for this computer company. No big deal. I have to find ways of self-torture. Fuck. No, thank you.
I truly like, but that's my MO before any flight. And it's like, it won't even be the situation where you're like, oh, last night of vacation, I'm piling onto the plane like a sweaty bag of goo. It's like, it'll be the night before and I'm at home. I'm like, well, I should probably just start vacation right now and get off on the wrong foot at the airport. I went home.
I had a panic attack outside of the Delta Sky Club.
I wait until the last second to pack the night before and I get shit-faced while I do it because how else are you supposed to pack?
I have a joke literally on my comedy album that's about I get blackout drunk and then pack my suitcase and I get to my destination and then I say suddenly I open my suitcase and suddenly getting dressed has become an episode of Chopped. I'm like, one high heel, one Navajo poncho, and a bathing suit bottom.
You just make it work.
Tim Gunn shows up for no good reason, different show. It's my story, okay?
Should we introduce ourselves, you
guys? We should.
Things are different this week.
Let me just say it. Yeah, like, welcome to Sidework and the Walk-In today. We're doing. A mashup of Sidework podcast with our buddies Shots in the Walk-In. And Andrea, kick us off. Why don't you?
Sure. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Yes. But
You nailed it, Andrea.
Thank you.
And
I'm your other trend setting the introduction. I'm Andrea Wallace. I'm a host of Sidework Podcast. Hello.
And I'm Brooke Van Poplin. I'm a host of Sidework Podcast and joining us today.
Yeah, my name is Renee. I am one of the co-hosts of Shots in the Walk-In.
And I am Anna. I am also one of the co-hosts of Shots in the Walk-In.
Amazing.
Welcome.
Four ladies.
Yeah.
Getting shit done on a Monday.
Oh, yeah. Kind of getting shit done on a Monday.
Speaking of getting shit done, you guys have a show opener that it's a ritual, if you will. Mm-hmm. Do you care to guide us through? Is it complicated?
It's very simple.
It's easy. It's easy.
Brooke got British.
Is it complicated?
That tends to happen every once in a while, depending on how, safe we get in our safety meeting. You might get a little British. You just never know. So that's kind of the fun of it. So, sometimes when you're at work and things are a little crazy, you might just look over at your, well bartender and not feel safe. They might suggest a safety meeting, which is what we're going to suggest right now.
Yeah,
good.
Because nothing says safe like a Monday afternoon tequila shot.
No,
that's what I was
thinking.
There we go.
Is cheers, that, everyone. Cheers, ladies. Dropping it, bringing it back up. They all took a shot. I fully just am drinking a gin highball from a can.
Right. You're that coworker.
Yeah, you are.
I know.
Can I have a chaser? Actually, that's always Renee, too. I'm like,
that was
no.
me for a long time.
Oh, no. Can I get a soda water back? Do you mind muddling something in my safety? Yeah.
The answer
I mean,
is no.
For those of you, and there might be, or there are going to be some of you out there listening right now who don't have any idea what a safety meeting is, and basically it's just code for taking shots. Like,
exactly.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
A little group shot, if you will, a little social time at work, if you will, like loosening up the old apron strings yep. toward the end of your shift.
It's yeah. a team building exercise. I like to think of yeah. it, you know?
Exactly. Sure.
I mean, can we be honest? Like, it is so much safer than trust falls. Like, I'm who invented trust falls?
No, I'm not doing it's that. Just,
yeah, no way. Kidding. I'll take a shot.
Take. For sure.
Well,
I'm not doing the damn ropes course, but with the team, I'll take the shot.
I'll be in the corner drinking. I am that person. It's fine. Or I'll be drinking and then I'll get on the ropes. I have an order of how I do business.
Okay. I was going to say, I would probably get drunk and be like, get at me. I got this. Let's do this.
Put me on a rope.
Fall over immediately.
So Renee and Anna, it's really nice to finally meet you guys for the first time. Will you tell us, and then obviously we'll talk about side work as well. Like, talk to us about Shots in the Walk and talk to us about what this podcast represents, what it's about.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So we started during quarantine because we were bored, like many a podcast.
Yeah.
This year. And so we've been talking about doing a podcast together for a really long time. And then quarantine was just kind of like, well, shit, why not? And so we both worked in the service industry together for a long, long time. We started working together in a nightclub. And we just like have a million stories and know a million people that have a million stories. And it's the kind of community that you build working in the service industry is stronger than any other like work community.
Yep.
So true. we decided to just do our podcast Shots in the Walk-In is like, well, fuck it. Let's just trade horror stories and and so we have most of the time we have a guest on just to chat about something kind of specific. We've had a lot of friends that decided to open bars or restaurants this last year or mm-hmm. how they're surviving because COVID's been crazy for everybody. It's just completely changed the game. So everybody has a lot to say. And so, yeah, we just decided to turn it into a podcast.
Amazing. So fun.
Yeah, we may have, come up with a lot of our ideas while drinking lots of tequila.
Drinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Which is not
I mean, whatever. Whatever your creative method is, I say go for it.
Love it.
That's so great. And you know, for your listeners listening in and hearing our voices for the first time, you know, Sidework Podcast was born very much in the same vein that like Brooke and I worked together. We are both, you know, in the service industry for years and years, and just like we're just like, God, it's just this one thing that we know so much about and we loved so much and has like shaped us into who we are today. So it's been really fulfilling and amazing to talk about it for 2 years, huh, Brooke? It's been
hell yeah. So no, great. I'm looking at these ladies. They are 31 episodes deep.
Hell yeah.
Pulling up on you over here. I think I like subscribed. I did not review yet. I'll do that.
Thank you.
I will give you a 5-star.
You know,
and a review.
That's okay. That's okay.
It's so funny. So only a few weeks ago, you guys were ahead of the curve because just yesterday we did a big, not yesterday, Friday's episode was our big venting on why workers aren't returning to work. And you guys did that on
April 27th.
I listened
to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, I felt like we would probably still want to talk about that, you know,
mm-hmm, sure.
Get into working in the pandemic and all that good stuff, because there's bound to be overlap. And I think that's what Andrea and I keep finding is like, yes, this is a universal experience and problem.
Oh.
And the more that we are all saying it and talking about it, it pushes change, hopefully, into existence. But we were going off on that topic last week. Our friends, some of our friends who listen a lot are like, Jesus Christ, did you guys do cocaine before the episode?
Well, we actually did cocaine before ours, so.
Disclaimer.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah,
and yeah, we're
honestly, that's like such a big thing, I think, that we keep coming back to. That's at my restaurant specifically for months and months and months. That is just, it's like a broken record between managers and people. You know, we're just like, what the fuck is going on? You know, it's just, it's crazy.
It's been a very, very rough 14 months.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into like our, you know, okay, before we do some actual trust falls, which means getting to know one another and each just sharing one vulnerability about each other.
Ooh, very Brene Brown of you.
Right? Exactly. I'm like, the gin's kicking in. At the top of Sidework Podcast, we like to get into some headlines. So shall we all discuss?
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. So this is obviously an issue everywhere. Last week, Joe Biden and the CDC drop a bomb. Fully vaccinated people do not need to wear masks indoor, outdoors, under, over, in, through, you know, it, and you're just sitting here going like, yeah. What the fuck? Slow your roll, Sleepy Joe. Do love him, but I was like, whoa, that's a, okay, here we go. So how is it going? You guys are in fucking Washington, right?
Yeah,
correct. We're in Seattle area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said in fucking Washington, right?
It's fucking Washington. That's how we like to say it anyway.
Yeah. Brooke's trying to talk like the locals talk up north.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it.
Fucking A, brother.
Yeah. You nailed it. Actually, we have this thing that randomly happens on our podcast where people just start talking like Randy Savage. So you're like, partway.
Oh, yeah, this is Brooke's dream come true.
You're getting there. You're not quite there yet. You'll get there by the end of the episode, I'm sure. So just throw in a couple brothers and you'll be good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Up here in the last, I mean, what was that? A few days ago that this happened.
Yeah.
I was chatting with some friends. We did like a little bit of an experiment at our restaurant and it was really kind of wonky. People for the most part, I think, still really want to wear their masks, which I was kind of surprised about. I mean, I feel like I do because at this point it's been a year. It's like my safety blanket. It's like my little baby blankie. I like, it feels good on my face. You know how we were all like, ew, this mask thing is so weird at first, but now I like, I don't want to give it up. And it's kept me safe all year.
Yes.
It's just like, it's like a, such a safety thing. And so I know that a lot of workers probably feel like they don't want to take them off. But what I saw all weekend was the people coming into our restaurants are still super down to continue it, even if it's just to kind of like more or less set an example, you know?
Sure. And like, God forbid, be respectful toward you.
Ding ding.
Yeah. And that's really what it is for two. It's like, it's courtesy, right? It is a sign of respect. It's so great.
Oh yeah.
It's like the most basic sign of respect. It's like wearing pants, dude. Like, yes. Is it okay to wear pants in public?
I've always said, if that guy's not wearing pants, he does not respect me. I've said it a million times.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, it is. It's such an easy thing. And it took a long time for people to kind of pull together and go, oh, hey, actually, this is something that I can do for my fellow man or my neighbor or my coworker or whoever the hell it is, you know? And so I feel like the last chunk of time, you know, people have actually gotten there. And then it was like, surprise, you don't have to do it anymore. We're all just like, wait, no.
You're like, but I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep and I'm in the flock, though.
Yeah, sorry, this sheeple is gonna stay masked and brainwashed, okay?
Yeah. I'm with you.
Give me the microchip, I'll take it.
Yeah, well, so, we all got our microchips, didn't we, with that?
Yeah, right?
We did.
So, yeah. diving into this article, this headline that Brooke has put up here that we definitely read last week, this Vice article, basically. So there's this new trend among anti-vaxxers, because they all talk like this, in my opinion. No, that's just how I talk.
Yeah.
But when I get sassy about anti-vaxxers, how they're starting to mask up to protect themselves from the vaccinated, claiming that we're shedding. There is an off-put being put out by us vaccinated folks that will lead to irregular menstruation, infertility, all that goodness. I'm calling it the shedding. I'm claiming the shedding as the name.
I love that.
Patent pending on that name. I say good. Great. You're protecting me from you now.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Why couldn't we have started this trend a long time ago? God damn it.
You can truly only trick them the way you wager with toddlers.
Yes.
Is like, yeah, you give them a false choice, you know? And so now they're literally on blogs like crazy, all the message boards, which, by the way, all these stats keep coming out that it's like 9 people worldwide who drive a lot of the propaganda for anti-vaccine. Like, they're all behind it. It's like literally, it's like the Ron Watkins of QAnon.
Yeah,
it's
just about to say that.
Like a few puppets in the anti-vaccine movement, which, by the way, everyone, if you're a little on the fence, if you read a little bit of that shit, these people make so much money off of scaring you and getting you to buy products that they hawk as a solution. So just always know, you know, it's that this is never out of the goodness or concern in their own hearts, but they're literally like, I don't know, we might have to implement new tactics such as social distancing. And you're like,
that was my favorite part.
We just spent 14 months doing that you couldn't be bothered to do. And then it also is like a layer of Scientology where they're like, you may just have to never see certain people in your life ever again. I'm like, if you have someone in your life like that, bye.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I call me a suppressive. I'm a suppressive person.
That, like, to be like not like us. They're like, we need to stay 72 inches away from everybody, which actually equals 6 feet. But like that's where they're leaning.
They call it coverings instead of a mask.
Oh my God. I mean, this sounds like a very mutually beneficial conspiracy theory. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yep. They call it their shed sheath, I think, is what they should call the mask.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that.
Shed shield.
I like that. This is just what's killing me. The CDC reported that men who have caught COVID, you know, had like full blown symptomatic COVID, even asymptomatic COVID, research is coming out that like 3 to 6 months post COVID, they are having like abnormally low sperm count. So actually are having fertility problems from having COVID, not from getting the vaccine and being near someone or standing next to someone who's shedding protein. And then you breathe in, which also is like, that's not a thing that does. Yeah. I'm like, I want to see someone shed protein like at a deli on like one of those beautiful slicers.
Yeah, well, it sounds like if you were a man who had COVID, you won't be shedding protein all over anybody.
You sure won't. It's just going to be a whole bunch of like, you know, no condoms because I got COVID kind of thing. You know?
Oh, God. I certainly hope not.
We can Tinder totally just raw dog.
That's, oh, God. That's how I wish I was lying. That's how my boyfriend came into existence, because his dad said, I had the mumps, so I'm infertile, to his mom.
She was like, the mumps
was like the COVID. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
History repeats itself, I guess.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If those folks aren't able to reproduce as much, it's not really going to be any skin off my back.
I'm not gonna shed any skin over it.
No, I'm not shedding any proteins over that.
This sheddening. Oh fuck, we could just make jokes about this all day. Let's jump into this next headline, because we'll have plenty to say, trust me. So this coming out of Milwaukee, after a break-in at a local bakery, the Canfora Bakery, also known as the Lakeview Bakery, somebody broke in. they stole the cash drawer, which is fucked up in itself to fucking rob a bakery. Let's just all
you know how rich bakeries are.
So the owners had camera footage of the person who robbed them. They printed an image of him on edible paper and made cookies to hand out in the community and be like, have you seen this person? Have you seen this person? Within the first 20 minutes of posting the pictures on the cookies Facebook page, they started receiving tips. All right. And then they caught the guy who did it. Police do say they're like, we don't think the cookies had much to do with it. Yeah, right.
Oh, okay. Probably all that police work, guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry. Could you take a break from beating up this mentally ill person look for a robber?
Seriously. Yeah. No shit. And also, like, the sweetest little baker lady, like, the most evil, like, thing she could think of was to, like, hand out cookies just with, like, this, like, she's like, this guy robbed us. I'm going to get him back by giving cookies to the community. Like,
I think it's fucking brilliant. I love you guys so much. So, yeah, if only maybe this will be a new trend for people who are trying to catch criminals all over Milwaukee now. Just call this bakery will specialize in criminal catching in the future.
Yeah, I love it.
This is a new way to like reclaim, you know, cookies and shame. You know what I'm saying? It's like it shouldn't be shame for eating them. It should be shaming a bad person.
Yes. Yes.
This guy, I mean, it's really smart because I'm looking at this and this guy has a very like Greco-Roman profile. I feel like you can really identify this person through the cookies. So
they were pretty good.
I feel like I would be the person who would be like, I would be like, oh, that maybe that's him. Maybe that's the guy. Like Brooke would be like, I think that's him. And she'd be like, give me that cookie. And I'd be like eating. Like I'd be like just finishing up the cookie. Like I'd come like, it and then like, we don't catch him.
Like mouthful, like what?
We're like, oh, I ate the evidence.
You just destroyed evidence. Yeah, exactly.
Also, can we just talk really quickly about how the author of that article in like, I think it was like the first sentence or two just threw in the criminal or the, you know, robber man, Jimmy, to open the door or open the cash register. And I'm like, was that kind of like a sprinkle joke that she threw in there? Because
there is one before that, because she was like, the owner came up with a pretty sweet way on how to identify that guy.
I loved it. I was like, I really just like the author of this article. Of course, the content is perfect, but
her name is Hannah Kirby, according to Hannah the article. Kirby. So way to go, Hannah.
Yeah, we're into you.
Great article. We love Wisconsin. What can we say? Everything they do is cute.
Yeah. She's even just
right.
The cookies are done.
And then one last fun headline today, you guys, is in let me open this up. Where did it go? Anyways, long story short, this is an Evening Standard article saying that Brits, you know, our friends across the pond, are each being urged to drink 124 pints of beer a person to help struggling pubs get back on their feet and basically re-stimulate, you know, the bar culture there that's taking a massive hit. It's either like you need to just distribute $382 per person or just do your due diligence and drink 124 warm pints of ale.
It's the most my British thing I've ever heard, and I love it. It's hilarious.
I'm sitting here going like, this is, and they're like, fine. If you're not a drinker, you can also choose to eat 976 packets of crisps or 40 roast dinners at the bar, which I'm like, I'll take the beer. It's okay.
Yeah. You know, am I crazy that it also says by summer this needs to happen?
That's a little trickier. Yeah, 40 roast dinners by summer. I don't know. I know. Really going to be, you know, ready for bikini season in the UK. Yeah.
I don't think anybody expects that.
Yeah, really.
This really, I know. I have to say this like brings up anxiety in the fact that I'm like, I've already been drinking 124 drinks a month, yes, like in quarantine at home easily. And I feel, you know, I'm really trying to curb my efforts because my pants don't fit and we're going back into society, the whole thing. And I'm like, but I want to re-stimulate the economy. And I don't know if you guys had a week, but Andrew and I, we just had like a bunch of social plans for the first time. It was my busiest week in 14 months. And I'm like, if it's going to be like that, I like have to live on an exercise bike because there's no returning from this.
You're going to need like an IV drip too, because listen, that much hydration is not going to work itself out here. Natalie.
Oh, I'm also like exercising less because I'm out now. I mean, when I was at home, it's like all I do is work out and fucking not, I don't know, but now I'm just, it's a lot getting back onto the real life world trend. Yeah. I don't know.
I just went out for the first time last weekend because I finally fully vaxxed, and we have a friend that opened a bar. Actually, I forgot to tell you because you were on vacation. I went to Lucas's bar. Sorry.
Oh, rude. Uh-oh. Rude, but whatever. It's fine.
No.
We promised we would go together, but I went and met up with a couple friends at it was just so fucking incredible to just be like a person and feel like kind of normal and like drink, like took shots with friends and I can't even explain. I was like, I can't believe that I'm getting like this much joy from a thing that I used to do several times a week. Like it was my work, you know what I mean? It was just crazy. So I feel
I never wanted to pay $17 for cocktails more in my life, you know.
Totally.
I mean?
For sure.
Yeah. And I have to say, like I give kudos to the states and the cities and the bars, you know, that are like, we are gonna like heed to the rules and keep people safe until people really can actually be around one another. Because I'll tell you what, when they were doing that shit with like opening everything up indoors to like maskless and no capacity back in like the fall and shit, are you kidding me? After I had three drinks, I was hugging everyone. You know, Andrew and I were inside the bar dancing and like both shopping from their like fucking, you know, to go little setup they had. Like, totally. Doing like, yeah, they got a bottle shop. I mean, like, I was like a drunk toddler with no manners. And it's just like alcohol in a pandemic is truly a disaster together. So
absolutely.
Like, I know it sucked and I know people didn't understand it and wanted to have their bar time. But it's like, good Lord, I'm so glad we only had as many, you know, of the spikes and super spreader events as we did, because my God.
No, seriously. Like a year ago, right when my restaurant first opened up again, everyone was so excited, you know, and we were nervous. We have all these rules, but for the most part, people were, you know, being pretty good about them. But then that last hour, you know, hit, even like 9 o'clock hits and people are like, we got to get wasted. And so we had like people just chugging beers. Like we had this one guy, like our first week open, we had liters of beer at my restaurant. He ordered a liter of beer, just chugged the entire thing, and we were like, whoa man, slow down, you gotta do that. And he just barfed right into it and then wanted us to keep serving him. And we were like, number one, this isn't okay in non-pandemic times, but also no absolutely not. It was crazy. It was just like,
that guy was like full Roman orgy mode for sure.
Oh my god. We were like, totally no back. And so then I think we decided to close an hour earlier for like literally the next year. We were like, we're not doing that last hour. Nope.
A little too much.
Sorry.
That's so great. I gotta say, with this article, it is like I feel like there couldn't be a national challenge like that in this country. People would go fucking bonkers.
We're still not as crazy as Europeans, though. You know, we just have more guns. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we just everybody would have more access to assault weapons. But I feel like the Brits should be passed out like a punch card, and it should be this like, you know, point of pride if you filled out your 124 like stamp card. I think that'd be dope.
You get you get a free pint after you know, put the first 124 down.
Oh my god.
You're knighted. You get knighted by the queen.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm Sir Brooke Van Poplin.
Yeah, there you go.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So we would love to get into some of your guys' segments. We know that you play games on the show, right?
If you had anything prepared, no pressure.
We usually like to prepare at least one game for our lovely guest or guests. And it tends to kind of be something that has to do with them or has to do with what is like really going on in the world or the country or the moment or whatever. So, you know, we did throw together just a little baby game this morning.
I love it.
A little mini game. We like to just kind of ask confusing questions, and it's usually just some dumb shit. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be real fun. Renee, do you have a copy of this game here? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we were thinking, okay, so the world is about to open up again. People are traveling. They're starting to go on vacation. What's that mean for us restaurant workers? That means that our sections are going to be filled with lots of, you know, tourists and people from other countries and different parts of the world. Fun, right? So we're going to try to decipher a few things that they might come and sit in your section and order from you.
Okay. All right? Okay.
So let's see here. Renee, why don't you take this first one?
Okay. So you are serving or bartending, whatever. You have a table of Australians. Someone orders an Adam's Ale. What do they want? A, any beer you can find. B, a type of soup. Or C, water.
I'm going C. I'm going
water.
Yeah,
I'm going to go C as well, even though that's just so extra to call water. But
it's super extra to call water. And here's the thing, you're right, but I feel like everything, I was like, either this one's going to be so easy, or I feel like the answer to everything for like Australians is just like any type of beer. I don't know.
I'm just going to hybrid into your game and like Bucabell myself a little bit.
Please do. Thank you.
Because I'm going back to biblical times, you know, there were no forbidden fermented drinks yet.
Yep.
All they had was water from the river in the garden.
Yeah, you just had Fruity Adam. Eve's the one that made shit happen. Really.
Yeah, that's true.
She was a curie, you know. Adam was like, I'm just going to be a big dumb glass of water.
I'm just going to drink this ale here. Eve's like, that's not ale, that's water. You're super boring, but whatever. Okay, so speaking of our friends across the pond here in England, your next table is a bunch of folks visiting from right over there. So
okay,
one of them orders a wife beater, which to us here in America is one of those super fancy white tank tops, right?
Right.
Okay, so if you're from England, what might you think is a wife beater? Is it A, a Stella Artois, B, a true Kentucky bourbon, or C, a Boilermaker, which is just a shot in a beer?
It's two or three.
That's what I think, too, because I feel like we did that whole show on bartending and how basically they stopped, prohibition started because like people started drinking bourbon and then Kentucky and bourbon, and they literally started like beating the shit out of their wives and family members. Remember that?
And each other. Yeah, it's bad. Same with
each other, I'm sure. Yeah.
Same with the gin craze. People were dying in the streets because they were drinking pints of gin. Anyways, I
feel like it's got to be a good Tuesday.
But you know what? Okay, here's bourbon. I do too, because they're going to call us like, because they're like, oh, it's like American redneck and they beat their wives.
Okay, so you're wrong. It's actually Estella Artois. Isn't that crazy?
I love that.
The reasoning was that the Stella Artois used to be stronger than all of the beer they were making, which I was like, that doesn't seem right to me, but whatever. That Kentucky bourbon, though, that was definitely thrown in there on purpose. I felt like that was the one that I probably would have chosen.
I mean, it's still, but it's still like the same premise. It's because it's higher booze. You're going to turn into a monster and go beat up your wife. Like just like what happened when we started distilling alcohol in this country. And instead of drinking cider and beer that is low alcohol, you drink all the bourbon and then, And then Alcoholics Anonymous is born.
Yeah, really.
Oh, yes, it is.
And then the church basement opens up.
Exactly. Friendly reminder that side work in The Walk-In does not condone wife beating.
Yes.
No, please, everyone.
No, it's all right. I appreciate the disclaimer. I hope everyone would know us well enough to know.
Absolutely not.
It's just a game. It's just a game.
But this is also the type of world we live in now. Just take this one clip, put it out there for Fox News to get their hands on.
Yeah.
And this is what happens when you give women podcasts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. It's some
and
truth.
Then we get canceled. God damn it.
All right. Next question. I need to get this next one right.
We're all going to get this
really
right.
Competitive.
Yes. Okay. The border reopened. You have a table of Canadians and one asks for moose milk. What do they want? A white Russian, a boozy milkshake, or a Canadian lager?
I might go for a lager. Yeah. I mean, you get like your moles, your two, four, what do they call it?
A get Canadian lager. So it's specific.
It's a Canadian thing.
I'm going to have a little fun and say a boozy milkshake.
You can ding that little boozy bell milk over there.
Boozy milkshake. Brooke got it right. Correct.
Ding, ding.
I never thought it would have been that.
I wanted it to be the lager, but I'm also like, why can't you just stop being an asshole? Ask for a Molson. What are you doing? You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, okay. Good job. So, you know, you're killing it here. We have one last question.
Okay.
This one is probably the most important. So put your seatbelts on here.
Okay.
It's your birthday and you are treating yourself to Guy Fieri's hottest new restaurant on the Las Vegas Strip. If anyone listening knows us at all, it's that we love Guy Fieri. So
nice.
We just love him. Okay. So which of these is an actual cocktail on the Guy Fieri menu? Is it A, the Tic Tac Chugger?
Tic Tac Chugger?
You definitely heard me correctly. Okay. Yes. Okay. We got Tic Tac Chugger. We have Freaky Tiki Punch the High Roller Kool-Aid.
All right, here's the deal, Brooke. I think this is one of those questions where every single one is a drink on the menu. I think that that's what they've done to us. I mean,
all of the above.
I'm going to go where I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would say Freaky Tiki. But
No, you are absolutely right. Those are all drinks on the Fieri menu.
Good one.
I'm so impressed right now. It's
cool. Really, I am a big wait, don't tell me fan. So I kind of get the gameplay. Like I get the feels. I've definitely eaten at the Guy Fieri restaurant that's like attached to the Flamingo. I don't know. It's like I've eaten at one of them and it was definitely fine. He's lovely though. He's doing great work.
Yeah, he's definitely doing his thing. I do remember seeing something, I don't know if it was online or on Food Network or something, about one of his restaurants that he has trash can nachos. And yes. My first reaction was like, I want that.
I definitely watched. It was like a Super Bowl situation where I had some friends that like they did stories of like them assembling the entire trash can nacho situation. And I was quite jealous of the whole thing. So I will eat those today. Can I have some right now?
You're so hungover. You are trash can nachos right now.
Yeah.
I am trash can. I am trash can nachos. Well, I mean, that's very on par with like the trend that we can't stop talking about, the Reddit thread. Like,
we want plates.
Yes.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah, people get, they're like, I'm sorry, did you just serve my food on a rusty bin lid? a lot of the bad behavior is in Britain and Australia. They're out of control with the shovels and the cutting boards. And I saw one where they put a salad filled to the brim inside of a glass cloche.
Like, no.
What the fuck happens? You remove the cloche and then it's like boing, 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 boing. Yeah. It was
It's the booby trap salad. It's not nice.
Yeah. It's so bad.
There's another subreddit called We Want Cups. And it's a lot of beverages in like plastic bags, which is like pre-COVID, that was fucking weird.
And yeah,
that's a lot of like in like Asia, you know, if you're traveling around in certain Asian countries, you know, you get your little thing in a bag,
you get your little Ziploc bag of cocktail. I like it. But there's a lot of terracotta pots too.
It's like because the terracotta, first of all, it has absorption, it's stealing part of your fucking drink from you. Fuck that.
It's gonna flake off into your drink. No.
Siphoning my swill.
I just came back from the bathroom. Who fucking drank some of my drink? Who did it?
The pot's just absorbing it. I don't know. Yeah, no.
The pot's drunk all the time.
Somebody print this pot on a cookie immediately. Yeah. The drink thief.
That is a big thing.
Oh my god. Well, let's jump into another one of Sideworks segments, which we like to call server
submitted
stories.
We just got this correspondence from Mean Old Man Taggart, and he just said, I've been working at a gay bar for 9 years and don't understand weekends. I understand, you know, we never knew what weekends were back then. So 2 weeks into dating a guy, I got invited to Sunday brunch. It was a 10 top. Everyone was super picky and demanding. I had a coffee and a waffle. I put down $40 for a tip because they were dicks. This guy at the table pulls up his calculator app and says, we have too much money on the table, and then passes back $3 to every person. He's like, I almost threw up, but new relationship. He's like, but that relationship didn't last long. This was intolerable. Mean Old Man Taggart. This really brought back such a triggering thing when you've been. I was like, oh my god, I hate when they're like, oh, this is way too much for the server,
dude.
We
totally
overtipped. Everyone, take back $2.
Dump that dude. Seriously, that drives me crazy. That's like such a good way to weed out the dicks, like when you're in the dating game, is like see how they treat the servers. That's crazy to
absolutely
me. But also like,
it's a teachable moment.
There are certain people that I'll go out with. I have a couple of friends that are just kind of dicks. They've never worked in the service industry, and I always feel like I have to apologize for them. Anna, you probably know who I'm talking about, but I'll just slide a little 40 to the bartender and be like, I'm so sorry. And I try not to hang out with that person very often, but sometimes you got to sneak that extra tip in. If read the room, if you're with a table of 9 other dicks, then you're going to have to do some sneaky tipping.
I don't have enough, like, I would have full, I mean, and I know new relationship and I, the story is incredible, obviously, but I feel like I would have been like, no fucking way. Like, you
totally.
Know, that's yeah. me.
Or like the idea that it's like, and I didn't quite, if he did this like afterwards and left $40 or if it was his $40 for the waiter and instead they dispersed it amongst each other. Fucking crazy.
Right. No, that's crazy. Not cool. I would have, yeah, I think that it would be totally appropriate to just be like, oh, actually, yeah. you know, that was on purpose and this is why, you know, like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this guy just did a really great job. And so I'm just leaving him a little few extra dollars here.
Exactly,
yeah. Get your little greasy paws. Yeah, greasy paws off my $2, my $40, I guess.
I know. I mean, God, I understand, you know, being that time and place in my life where $2 really was the difference between, like, am I eating tonight? You know, I get it. But I always had to think, is like, don't go out to eat if you don't have money for a tip.
All right, next story. Do one of you ladies want to take the reins on this one?
There we go. Okay, this... And comes again from my Minnesota college bar serving job owned by One Star Marty. So I feel like I'm missing something here.
I am too. He's like, she works for One Star Marty? That's crazy. We're going to have to talk.
Apparently. Yeah. Okay. This bar was on a pedestrian only plaza in downtown, meaning that after bar closed, my coworkers and I had a front row seat to watch drunkies slowly meander home or to the close bush. I'm not even kidding. We've all been there, don't worry. As we swept the patio at 2:30 a.m. Almost once a week, I would get to watch something crazy unfold, ranging from things like regulars pooping on the patio, true story, to a 40-person brawl in the street, again, true story, to cars crashing through the insurance building next door. You guessed it, another true story. Wow, okay.
Wow. So this is
this patio is not for the faint of heart here.
No. She's in Minnesota.
My goodness. All right. My favorite after bar shenanigans of all time, though, were late night fight club. Okay. This was truly a place where all labels were lost. Men of all walks of life entered the circle and nothing mattered except a fair fight. Hand-to-hand combat with another man. Dear. The testosterone in the air could probably trigger ovulation.
Oh my God!
All these random dudes would just gather up and body slam each other until the cops broke it up. We used to make bets on them, shouted our favorites like a bullfighting match. It was weird. Godspeed and good tips. Gabby. Wow.
Oh my god!
That to go.
I mean, I'm night shedding all club. Over the place just thinking about the fight club.
Oh wow! Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you get enough in you, I guess you might want to brawl. But my goodness, that's a
my goodness.
I mean, right. I'm assuming that this fight club was just right out there in the street because that was probably part of the fun.
So.
You know, waiting until the cops showed up. I mean, we've all been there. We've all probably worked in neighborhoods where, you know, the bars get out and then it just turns into a complete shit show out there. You never know what's going to happen. But like a legit fight club just kind of out in the middle of everything. That's it's pretty bold.
One time there was a man that got shot in front of the old bar that we worked at. He got shot in the arm and he had just gotten a hot dog from the street meat guy. And he was like, oh, man.
Oh, no.
So I was like, he got taken away in an ambulance. And then there was just like a little puddle of blood and a sad, lonely hot dog that only had one bite taken out of it.
He was like, my night just turned for the worst. I was just going to eat this hot dog and call it one, call it a night. No,
totally.
God.
That was $6. Damn it.
Seriously.
Yeah. Plus tip. Yeah. Those aren't cheap.
I'm not fully comfortable sharing this with you all.
Let's do it. Jump right in.
I don't even know if Andrea knows this. I have college friends who can confirm, but I absolutely went through a period of my life in college, 21, where we would hang out at a place called the Peanut Barrel. That was like the only place I would ever drink at. It's college, just little dive bar. And I would, in all seriousness, invite people to meet me out back behind the bar and wrestle. Oh. Andrew, you know this?
I do know this story.
Yeah. My friends were like, we were just going through a phase where we all just were like, none of us had like a ton of sexual experience yet. And so we all just like wrestled a lot. And it was really weird. And then I was back there. And I would always wrestle girls. And then my friend, she drove a pickup truck. And she was like, let's wrestle in the bed of my pickup truck. And so people were like fucking taking bets on us. And, you know, we weren't like beating the shit out of each other. But we were like, you know, like embracing and trying to flip the other over. Giggling, laughing, being stupid, but I have fought so many people behind the dive bar.
I love it.
Flatbed.
Wow. I'm impressed by that. I am thoroughly
what
impressed.
What did you
by
drink
that.
Then? Like, yeah. What did you get?
Jack and Coke all night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Definitely Jack
and
Coke. Yeah,
that's wrestling juice for sure.
It is absolutely wrestling juice. Yeah.
Ooh. Yep. And wow. Yeah, it's not the only time I've wrestled. Like, I won a title in Jersey City, New Jersey several years later in a different chapter of my life.
Sounds like wrestling is a real constant for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you were excited about the Randy Savage thing. I mean, yep.
That's true. Oh, you know, I think we're all wrestling with a lot of emotions.
We certainly are. Always. Yeah. Wow.
Anyways,
okay. Well, I really like learning that about you, actually. That's really cool. Yeah.
It was your time to share it with the podcast.
I feel like I haven't wrestled enough of my friends, so I don't know.
Yeah. Seriously. Anna, we're going to have to just do a backyard brawl next time I see you.
Yeah.
I would be lying if I said it's not so fucking fun.
I'm sure. Because that's the thing. Yeah, wrestling, punching. You're just kind of like, you're having fun. You know, it's not, you don't need to hurt anyone.
You guys, you know, you could just do a segment called Wrestling in the Walk-In where you just then all the prep cooks are gonna be so pissed.
That's gonna be our new YouTube channel, because this one just isn't gonna translate over a podcast here, folks.
Things are gonna get real gross real quick with your followers.
Yikes. Yeah, and here's the thing. We all know that floor in the walk-in does not get mopped as much as it probably should.
So sticky.
That's part of the challenge.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
You can stay on your feet. You know what I'm saying? Like, God, that is so dangerous.
Again, just another reason why we need Payless Shoes as a sponsor.
Oh, there you go.
Great, yeah.
Working on it.
By the way, you guys were talking about Tushy and like bidets in general. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you this. So
Speaking of sponsors.
Anna 1 year got me a squatty potty for Christmas and I got her a bidet for Christmas.
Oh, so, sisters.
Yes.
And see,
we're all about the clean butt
language.
Yeah, we were working on getting Tushy. We were actually doing just some free advertising for Tushy just out of the kindness of our hearts for a while, because when you truly believe in a product, you know, tell your friends about it, folks.
Yep.
It's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do.
I 100% got drunk this week and ordered my mama Tushy.
Yeah.
Belated Mother's Day gift.
Yeah,
I love it.
The gift of a clean tushy.
Yeah,
there's nothing like it. There's just nothing like it.
My mother deserves to know the joy of a super clean butthole. Yes.
Exactly.
You know, she's worked hard her whole life.
Oh yeah, I want everyone to know that joy. I really do.
You've worked hard, and who has hours to spend each day cleaning their buttholes?
You've raised 3 kids, and
take a load
off.
Don't
you deserve a little bit of extra cleanliness in your golden years? Like, that's what
this Mother's Day.
Yeah,
get Mama Tushy.
I love it.
I think that's she cleaned your tushy for however long.
This is so cute. I love. So we have a consistent correspondent named Simon, who is just one of the happiest, go luckiest. He's an Applebee's server. No, Olive Garden. Shit. Mm. Which is it, Simon? Sorry. I forget. It's one of the two chains. It's been basically the same thing. I think it's Olive Garden. It's Olive Garden. He does that corporate thing with a smile and some flair.
Yeah, good.
But
for
Andrew,
him.
Remember he was saying like at the beginning of COVID how he missed his saddle club, which yes. is a group of like old lady horse enthusiasts who would come in and all just get cocktails, get dressed up, whatever. So
they had a private room. Like he's like their regular server. Yep. Yeah. Oh,
they never have anyone else. Yeah, serve but him. And he sent us a photo of a glass of white wine and a little apple martini. And he goes, you know what this means? Saddle Club is back in business after over a year of putting it on hold due to COVID. The little old lady's dolled up in her jewelry, blouse, and long skirt, got her apple martini. And he's like, it's just like I remember, with a little more hustle. These old folks were thirsty as fuck. Their cocktail hour game was strong. And that made me so happy.
Oh, that is amazing. I'm super into that. And yeah, speaking of just getting back out there, you got your shots, you're feeling good. You're going to go meet up with your lady friends and dip some bread sticks and vats of Alfredo sauce. I am about this.
Love. I mean, it's been
also one of the most sexual visuals I've had in a while. So
you're welcome.
It's
here we go, shedding those proteins again.
Yeah.
Shed those proteins, girl.
Right?
Olive Garden style.
Yikes.
So that was server submitted stories, you guys. For anybody listening, fans of Shots in the Walk-In that have never heard us at all, we are always accepting server submitted stories.
Yeah,
please.
Anything you want to write to us, as long as it's not misogynist, racist, or homophobic, we'll read it on the air. You can hit us up at sideworkpod@gmail.com if you've got any fun stories to share. We've been talking about the fact that, like, we just got through Mother's Day brunch. There was Cinco de Mayo. There's going to be graduation coming up for people who had to go to school on Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
For a year and now finally get to go to a restaurant. So
that was my last weekend, honestly. Lots of graduation parties with, mom and dad and aunt and uncle and everyone just, getting a little loose. So
that's nice. Yeah. Though. It's got to be nice in ways. I mean, us talking about being back out there ourselves and how nice it is for us, there's got to be a level of working in the service industry right now and seeing people getting back out there and being like, hi, I missed you so much. And like, obviously there's shitty people everywhere and there always will be. And that's why we talk about it all the time. Yeah. But for the people who are genuinely enjoying themselves and having a good time and making your day brighter. And like, it's gotta be like a really joyful time on many levels.
I absolutely agree with you. Yeah. There have been many tables. And actually, speaking of that last little story, we had several groups of just women getting together in our restaurant, having cocktails, staying for like 4 hours and laughing louder than I have heard people laugh in a year. And it was warming my heart. I loved it. Ladies, whoever, dudes, all people everywhere, just go have a couple cocktails or 124, so whatever, good. However many your country is requiring at this time.
Totally. Yeah. There's,
just don't start Fight Club.
Right. There's, the bars here are only allowed to stay open until 10. I don't know what rules are where you guys are, but if you're outdoor establishment, which is like kind of what's happening, like you have to close by 9 or 10. And like, you said, if you don't want people puking into a liter beer stein, you might want to close a little earlier. So the trend I've been seeing, especially when I've been going out, is that like we get there at a good time to get a table and then we just stay all night long. And it's like basically it's the same with everybody. Everybody just sits their butts and they're like, for the next 4 hours, this is our life. Like,
And
people do get tanked. So it's been really fun to get back out there and just be like, here, I missed you serving me alcohol. Take all my money. Bye. I love you.
Absolutely. Well, I think it goes both ways. Like we missed all of our people and all the folks that come in and pay our paychecks and they missed us because who wants to pour your own drinks for 14 months? Not me.
Right.
You think I would would have learned how to bartend. But no.
But you're no. like, I'm just going to get canned pre-mixed cocktails. That's my thing. Yeah. I'm not going to shake anything.
I know how to bartend, and I took shots and tequila sodas all quarantine long. And wine.
Me. Oh, yeah.
Super easy.
Topo Chico and tequila. Oh,
yep, yeah, exactly.
That's a my mash downfall. Made in heaven right there. Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Really is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
I feel like the four of us would be fierce coworkers and get into a lot of trouble together.
Agreed.
Probably.
Right. Agreed. Yes.
Yeah. It seems though too, which would be really fun, like when we all do feel safe and sound. Andrea, should we see if we could all figure out, we're just putting it out there because you got to claim it, right?
Yeah.
If we all did a live show together in Seattle.
Yes, please.
Of course. Yeah.
We absolutely should do that. And we have a couple of like super perfect places to make that happen.
Yeah. Yes. We're starting to dream it and, you know, try and get a few little things together. So that'd be a blast.
Rad. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I plan on coming to LA in the next couple months too. So I'll hit you guys up when I come down.
Okay.
There.
Please.
You should both come if you can. If you can take the time off. If you're alone, you're still welcome to hit us up, Renee.
It's a package dealer. It's no deal.
Yeah, sorry, Anna, or not me. I just meant for the sake of like, because we will probably start trying to do an LA show at some point as well. So you guys could come down here or something. But guys, since we're on each other's feeds,
sure.
Where can our listeners find you? On the socials and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So you can, we're really terrible at Facebook, but we are okay at Instagram. So if you can just look us up at Shots in the Walk-In, we have a YouTube. If you just look up Shots in the Walk-In on YouTube, most of our episodes are up there.
Unedited episodes. So yeah, you get to watch us just
unedited.
Lightly
edited.
If someone really screws the pooch, we might cut that out, but you know.
Yeah.
When Randy Macho Man Savage shows up, he's just like, let's.
In the background, we're like, Randy, seriously? Yep. Come on.
Oh, yeah. And you screw up and he goes, no. Yeah.
Sorry, brother.
We should just start a new podcast, which is just all four of us talking like Randy Macho Man Savage.
Okay.
Yeah. Totally.
Twist my arm on that one. Jeez.
The joke we'll never gets old. We'll call it Savage as Fuck.
Yes.
Like, that'll be like,
yes. Oh. I love it.
I love that.
Watch. This will be...
Listeners, if you want to give us your best Randy Savage impression, you can go to speakpipe.com/SITW and leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, we would love to hear that.
Love that. Please make sure it's Randy Macho Man Savage ordering a specific cocktail, sending a steak back that's overcooked. Yeah.
Yes. That's good. Okay. Well,
I'm like, wow. It's the stuff that you literally just laugh about and create that you're like, well, there's our $1 million idea. Yeah. Never mind 2.5 years of hard work and dedication.
Yeah. Retirement's coming early for these ladies.
And then you guys can check us out. We're on Instagram also. Doing okay when we can remember to do it, but we're at Sidework Podcast. Sorry,
that's us. Yeah,
yep. No, it's sideworkpod@gmail.com for server submitted stories. We have launched a podcast network. It's more of like a collective, if that makes sense. That's called One Star Podcast Network. So if you like any and all things service industry related, you know, there's the Modern Waiter podcast. Copper and Heat, which is the perspective of a female chef and all the awesome changes that Katie Osuna is trying to instigate in the culinary world to make it a more fair and equitable workplace. We have Confessions of a Server, which is hilarious TikTok star Quaylen Harris. In Your Mouth Pod with Michael Munoz. It's the world's only LGBTQ food. Like, all the guests are LGBTQ chefs.
Oh, cool.
And food makers telling their story about coming out and embracing queer life through a food lens. And then we've also got our favorite guys here locally, the Macaroni Zone. Danny Palumbo and James Austin Johnson are just food dorks to the max, and they will make you laugh really hard. So check it all out. And obviously check out Shots in the Walk-In.
Yeah.
We've been fans since we met y'all.
Yay. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Awesome. Yeah, this has been so really fun. This is great. Thank you.
Can I admit that I fell asleep with your podcast on one night, and then my dream was that I was like hanging out outside of a studio booth where you were podcasting. I was like, hey guys, can I come in? It was very weird. And I was like, there's no way I'm dreaming this. This is too fucking specific. And it was just your podcast verbatim.
Wow.
I was asleep, but I my dream molded around it.
That's funny. Weird. Yeah, I like it. Well, very funny.
Joke's on you, because we have never done an actual studio booth or anything like that. We're just in the living room.
Or my sewing room
or my kitchen. Yeah.
I told you it was a dream.
So. let's sign off, Brooke, you and I, with a little bit of, you know what we say at the end of every episode?
We say Godspeed and good tips, and also Godspeed and good fight for a fair wage.
Yay.
Absolutely. Love we it. Don't really have a sign off other than see you next week, everybody.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect.
It's original. Whoa.
It works.